There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
All right, my talkers, happy Thursday. One more day till the holiday weekend. We are all excited around here. Lori and Julia are in studio today for a fun, packed-filled show. Yesterday was a tough one, but a good one at that.
Yeah. I mean, we did. We're going to replay we ended up talking about Tina Turner all day long yesterday. So, because, of course, we, like everyone, has Memorial Day off, so we'll be replaying that on Monday. So if you missed it and didn't get a chance to listen to it or whatever, it'll be replayed on Monday.
Thanks. You know, when you listen to podcasts, is it too, Grant, that the music isn't included?
Yeah, so if you go back tonight to go listen to the 3 hours, what we did yesterday, you're not even going to really, you'll experience all the great, you know, takes that you guys had and all the experiences and interviews we talked about, but all the music, I have to take that out of the podcast. All the great performances that she did with, like, Cher and you know, all that stuff. So if you really want to truly experience, like, the tribute that you guys put forth for Tina Turner on Monday, it will have all that music in there, all those performances.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Also want to give a shout out to our friend John Clifford. His Aunt Irma passed away today, and Aunt Irma, Julia, was a huge fan of our show, maybe from going back to the beginning. But if you remember, I want to say, like, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, Johnny brought Aunt Irma by to see us at the fair.
I do.
Because she just loved us. And she was just the sweetest lady. And John has the picture. I don't have the picture. But Johnny owns Hi-Fi Hair and Record, which is about the coolest record store and beauty salon that you've ever seen. It's down on Harmon Place in Loring Park. But anyway, just sending our love to you, John, about your Aunt Irma, who passed away. We feel for you. And he's a huge music person, obviously, as a beauty salon that's also a record store. But anyway, we're just thinking about you. And we're also thinking about, you know, George Floyd. It's a 3-year anniversary today of George Floyd. So one of these days, I hope we can learn to live without prejudice and bigotry. But a lot of things are going on over the weekend. Tonight, there's a candlelight vigil at the George Floyd Square from 8 to 10. From 6:30 to 8, also at George Floyd Square, there's going to be a tribute. There's going to be dancers. Tomorrow, there's things going on. Saturday, everything is really, you know, 38th Chicago, the George Floyd Square, that area. Yes. But there's a lot of things going on. The Star Tribune has a story about where to go, what the events are, you know, just to honor him and his impact. So that is going on. Last night, Julia, Billy Porter was in town.
Oh, we missed it. Tell me, I wanted to go to this. I wanted to go
to this.
We
gave away tickets.
We had tickets, right?
Yeah. People were so excited. How great was it?
All right, here's what John Bream writes. First things first, let's talk about what Billy Porter Jr., the most fabulous fashionista, wore during his over-the-top Porterlicious concert at the State. This was Tuesday night, excuse me. It was, he started in a multi-pastel colored jacket with matching train and sparkly orange pants. Then he changed into a black sequin jumpsuit with a waist-length silver bobble epaulets. Mm. And then he had an iridescent blue floor-length cape over a matching ensemble that was embroidered with Respect Our Humanity. There were 7 different ensembles, he says, but I'm a music critic, not a fashion writer.
I was just going to say, I'm really kind of impressed John gave it that much space.
I know.
But you have to with Billy Porter.
And, so people, he's got old dance floor hits. His, you know, whatever the draw was, he reminded the State audience of what he's done in a very self-reverential 2.5-hour show. He showed clips from Pose, various talk shows, various red carpets. The Oscar tuxedo dress got the biggest applause,
loved,
plugged
loved,
his memoir.
Yep.
He's got a movie coming up called our son about a gay couple that divorces a la Kramer versus Kramer. And he said he came off like the child of Little Richard and Bette Midler.
Oh,
and
that's a now we haven't heard of that combo yet. I absolutely love that.
I know. It was a highly entertaining, wildly energetic show. It was like presented in six acts. There was a five-man band. He did two tunes from his Black Mona Lisa album coming out in September. There were club bangers, the best of which is the sassy title cut, Black Mona Lisa. And we played Fashion last Friday, I think, the Billy Porter song. Anyway, and did some covers. And he said, I might not be able to remember any particular song, but it was impossible to leave and not forget Billy Porter Jr.
I love that.
Yeah, so that was
Tuesday night. I bet people had fun. I'd be curious to hear from him. He makes you smile.
Yes.
And he's that's always good.
He was so great in Pose.
Oh, I know.
Mm-hmm. He was just as the MC Pray Tell. That was his name. That was on FX. That was great.
Oh, okay.
That was a really great show.
He seems awesome.
Yeah, you know, and it's about the time, you know, when all the drag balls are happening, the AIDS crisis is just taking hold. So it's like, I don't know if it's early 80s, I think, is the era that Pose is in.
Mm.
But I think it was just a three-year season. I loved that show. That was a Ryan Murphy show.
Oh, all right. Oh, there you go.
It was. Okay. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. It was three seasons, 2018. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and some Emmys were won. So anyway, all right, listen, we come back. Our story we can't get enough of. We're going to continue with more Tina Turner because it's just impossible to say everything. But we've learned some new things with things that people are remembering and sharing on social media. So we'll be right back with that. Hey, everybody. It's Lori and Julia here for Furniture Manor. Our secret that we've been telling you guys about for many, many years. We love shopping here at Furniture Manor. If you are looking for furniture for any room in your house, you will find it there in every, good, better, and best pricing. But also the selection that they have, the unique furniture, and also brand names that we know and love with,
oh my gosh,
options to have custom fabrics. You have the, what do you call them on the bottom?
Oh, the different legs, the different wood, if you want a skirt, if you want woods, if you want these kind of legs. But, you know, the other thing is, besides all the great furniture in so many different price ranges, if you see something on the floor and you've got a mission and you love it, take it with you. They sell stuff right off the furniture
floor. That's what I did. A rug and a couch.
Yep, they have it all for you. Stop by FurnitureManor.com for more information.
Yesterday, when the whole world yelled out, no, no, not Tina, about Tina Turner passing away yesterday, on and off all day, we wondered how Cher was, well, how she was taking it, because she and Tina go way back. And as you point out yesterday, they have similar situations. Sonny didn't beat up Cher, but he was verbally and emotionally abusive and left her penniless too.
Yes.
Anyway, so they go way back. And as we were ending our show, I think someone called in to Grant and said, Cher's on MSNBC.
Yes.
Right now. So they got a hold of Cher. So this is just a couple minutes of Cher talking to MSNBC about her friendship with Tina Turner.
I started going to visit her because I thought, you know, I need to put this time in here into our friendship so that she knows that we haven't forgotten her. So we kind of all took turns going and spending time with her. And it made her happy. And someone said, Jeff said, when you two laugh together, it is the funniest thing that you can ever possibly want to hear because we both have such distinct laughs. But she was really happy. And like the first time I went, she was laying on this little chaise that she looks out at the lake with. And she was very kind of, you know, kind of Camille, you know, and laying there. And it's like, and she said, I can't spend too much time. And then 5 hours later, we were laughing like crazy, and she wanted to get up and show everything that she'd bought in her house. And boy, she was, there were no surfaces in that house. But, you know, she was having a good time in spite of the fact that she was really sick, you know? And not wanting people to know about it, but she, you know, she had a dialysis machine in her house, and so that's how she was doing it.
Yeah, and Cher, let me ask you, when you look at her life, you knew her as a person, a spirit, an artist. Many other people know her only from her music, from listening to her work. What do you value, what do you take from the way she lived her life, both as a person and as an artist that so many listen to?
Well, I think, first of all, she's one of the great artists in our generation, you know, like in rock and roll. I mean, there was no other person like her. You know, there's no other person even could come kind of close to who she was. And as a woman, she gave you lots of strength, and I'm sure she's encouraged so many young people, but she gave me lots of strength sometimes. And I gave her lots of strength, too. I think we were perfect friends for each other, truthfully.
Aww. I love that.
I know. It was so sweet. And then, you know,
she gave her a pair of her shoes.
Yeah.
Very high heel shoes.
Yeah. So she was on kidney dialysis because her husband gave her a kidney, but maybe
she still needed to be on the dialysis.
Her spokesperson today said she passed away in her sleep.
Sure. That's the best way.
Best way to go.
Yep.
People are reminding us out in the Twitterverse that Prince, at the Super Bowl performance that you were at, he did Proud Mary.
Yes, he did.
With two Ikeettes dancing front and center. So that's out there.
I just still think that must have been
that you were
everything.
At that concert.
That must have been everything.
But like I said, I think I've told you guys, in the moment, I did not realize the impact.
Yeah.
And now it's probably like one of the coolest experiences I've ever had, but I wouldn't have even said that 2 or 3 years after I experienced it.
Right.
It's just, this is with Prince going and all the hype behind
sure.
it. But yeah. I mean, I didn't even remember that particular part, but we can hear a second of it if you want to hear
it.
Let's
do it. Sure.
We've got it. Let's play it up.
And I'd forgotten that too. Coldplay last night was doing a show at Barcelona Olympic Stadium and led the crowd along in a version of Proud Mary. Lizzo last night was in Phoenix, and she tore it up. She said, I guess she yelled several times, there wouldn't be rock and roll without Tina Turner. And then before she played Proud Mary, and I think we might have a little bit of it, she said, you know, today we lost an icon, and I haven't allowed myself to be sad. I haven't allowed myself to cry. I don't want to right now because I'd much rather celebrate the incredible legend Tina Turner as a black girl in a rock band. I would not exist if it wasn't for the Queen mm-hmm. of Rock and Roll. And here's a little of, can we play it?
Yeah, so I've got a little bit of it. And it's the part where, you know, Proud Mary gets a little bit more exciting.
That's right.
And Lizzo's out there and she's got this
and
robe on.
She rips off the skirt.
This skirt, mm-hmm. yeah. And she's out there it looks to be like some sort of sexy nighty. And she is just rocking out. So let's hear it.
It's really fun. Go watch it on YouTube.
It is.
It's really super fun. I have to tell you something, Lori. So a month and a half before she passed, and we talked about this yesterday, she was interviewed by The Guardian, Tina Turner was.
Yeah, we talked about this.
And she talked about how much she loved touring with the Rolling Stones and her Live Aid thing. But she also said, she always had a crush on Mick Jagger. Mm-hmm. Mick and I could never just stand there and sing. That wasn't us. We had to do something. He looked me over. I was wearing a tight-fitting black leather top and skirt, and I could see a naughty idea forming. And he said to her, does that skirt come off? And she says, what? And then Jagger said to her, I'm going to take your skirt off. And I asked him why, but it was too late to talk it through. Mick had already made his mind up. And he ripped the skirt off while they were singing It's Only Rock and Roll.
Wow.
So he literally just ripped it off. I'm sure it was a wraparound skirt and stuff like that. And I'm sure, but she just said, he always looked at me with naughty eyes, and we always felt that naughty sexual tension kind of thing.
Yeah, well, he's only 4 years younger. Mm-hmm. What did you say, 66 and 69? Mm-hmm. That Tina, I can.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Teen Turner toured with the Stones.
Yeah.
But someone once called...
She also did one of them solo in the early 80s. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, someone once called Tina the female Mick Jagger, and this writer in 1971 said, oh, no. In fact, to be more accurate, we should call Mick Jagger
the male Tina Turner. I love that.
That was in 1971. Yeah. It was known that she was the one who taught him how to dance because he does that strutty thing that is a signature Tina Turner. So anyway, Ben Fong Torres was the reporter who in 1971, he said, yeah, no, we really need to be accurate and call Mick Jagger the male Tina Turner.
It's been really fun watching all the tributes and hearing of people's experiences with her because for the better part of the last 15 years, she has lived in Switzerland in a very quiet life.
Yeah. She was done.
Yeah, it's just nice to hear about some of her famous quotes that she said was, I'm not wise, but the beginning of wisdom is there. It's like relaxing into an acceptance of things with her Buddhism stuff and everything. Right. Oh, you have something else. Okay.
Well, Martha Quinn.
Yes.
MTV VJ.
Yes.
She said, here's Tina's heart. When I spoke to her when I was at MTV, I raved about her red dress because she was on whatever. She said, a few weeks later, a package arrived at the studio. I saw the red lace peeking out. She sent me the dress, and that dress is now on display at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Wow.
And yesterday when the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame tweeted out, one of their pictures was this red dress.
Good for Martha Quinn for donating it. That would be hard to do.
A long time ago.
Love
and
that.
Then someone else I can't remember the actor's name, but they were working at a boutique in New York City, and Tina Turner came in and shopped, and her gold Amex card said Tina Turner, private dancer.
Oh, I love that. That was her address.
Yeah.
One side note, sorry to interrupt, but you said Ben Fong Torres.
Yeah.
He was the editor at the Rolling Stone, right?
That's who was.
And you remember from Almost Famous, the movie?
Yes.
He's the one who calls the young man to start writing
to do the piece. Guy.
It's this. So that is when you said that name, I'm like, why do I know that name? And that's from the movie Almost Famous.
And he's an
actual Rolling Stone editor.
We love your movie memory.
Yeah, that's so
it's
good.
Like unbelievable.
My favorite Tina Turner quote is in, I think it might have been the 60 Minutes interview. I'm not sure, or just a print interview, but the reporter asked her if she ever stood up for anything. And she said, you asked me if I ever stood up for anything? Yeah, I stood up for my life.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Good for her.
I know it. And we've posted her best fashion moments throughout the year, sequins, fringe, and more. Anytime you see Tina Turner in a long dress that's cut up in fringe, that's a Bob Mackie.
There you go.
I absolutely love knowing that.
Lori and Julia here with Ann Tressler of Tressler Law. We have been working with you for years, but we've never really talked about prenups. Give us the lowdown.
Well, a prenup in the state of Minnesota is also called an antenuptial. So if you hear that, they're talking about the same thing as a prenup. I encourage a lot of people to consider getting them, whether you have a ton of assets or little assets. It makes everything much more streamlined. You know what you're entering into. You've got your agreements in place if you get divorced in the future. They also address what you will do with your assets in the event of death. So it really helps for estate planning, and it really just helps for the future to avoid disputes.
I love that. Okay, so, but what about a postnup?
Postnuptial agreements are simply agreements that people who are already legally married enter into that, again, will also address what would happen to their assets in the event of divorce or in the event of death. So again, these really can help streamline the process in the future.
Great information. And for your free one-hour divorce consultation, go to TrustLaw.com or use my talk, keyword divorce.
But just wanted to just a couple more things on Tina Turner. And I'd mentioned, you know, about Bob Mackie. And he once said that because he got to meet Tina Turner when she would be on the Sonny and Cher show and then also on Cher show, yes, because he was the costume designer, yes, just like he was for Carol Burnett.
Yes.
But after she and Ike split up and she had no money and was considered this nostalgic act and just, you know, really having a hard time, he said she would go and buy really cheap evening gowns.
Okay.
To save as much money as possible while she was, you know, because she was booking some gigs, you know, going to Vegas, yes, you know, doing nightclubs, doing conventions.
Nostalgic run.
Yeah, the smaller,
smaller venues.
Yes.
And what they would do, she'd get these cheap, and they would just cut away tons of fabric to get. So he said we could show her stunning figure, and that became her signature look. She came up with that with the help of Bob Mackie.
I love that.
Out of necessity, getting wearing these things. And then, you know, Richard Perry, and I'm talking about not, I'm talking about Richard Perry, the legendary music producer who used to date Jane Fonda. I think he was her last serious boyfriend. And remember, she broke up with him because he got Parkinson's.
Yes. She didn't want to take care of him.
I get that.
Yeah. And so but he was huge in the 70s. Carly Simon, Ringo Starr, Leo Sayer, the Pointer Sisters. In his memoir, Cloud Nine, he said Tina Turner came into his radar in 1977, years after he met her with Ike. She got her solo act together in 81. Great outfits, the cut-up gowns with Mackie, a great band, plus her own version of the Ikettes, which were the backup singers who danced and sang behind Tina. And the most exciting thing was the announcement of Tina officially opening a new club in New York called the Roxy, owned by an old friend of mine. I happened to be in New York with Rod Stewart on the weekend of her opening. We were both, couldn't wait to see her. Her show was off the chart. She had assembled some inspired choices. Now, this is 81. She did a cover of Prince's Let's Pretend We're Married.
Wow.
So she covered Prince in 81. So that's off the either Dirty Minds or Controversy album. Completely unique interpretation of the Beatles' Help, which she did as a soul ballad.
Wow. I love that one.
And her outstanding cover of Al Green's Let's Stay Together, which became a big hit in the UK after the show. I went to her dressing room and complimented her. It was truly something special. And I then told her, maybe the time is right for us to finally get together and make some music, which is exactly what we did.
Wow.
And we started recording before we even had the contract.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and the fashion, God, this, the stuff that you posted. I even remember, like you were remembering her video, What's Love Got to Do with with the leather jacket, the jean jacket. But I remember when she did, I don't know if it was an album or appearance, but she appeared in, she had a white blouse and then
she always wore the white blouses
but with
later.
The jean later. But when she first did that, we were like, oh my gosh, this, why haven't we
been
doing this?
Love the white blouse. Yeah. Love the white blouse. Yeah,
and then Angela Bassett, I thought CBS this morning had the best tribute because it was the longest. Vlad, who did the, you know, put together the report, is a passionate music fan, but they started the show with it.
I loved it.
I mean, the other two morning shows didn't even get to Tina to 7:30. I just couldn't even believe that. I was like, what is bigger than Tina Turner? But they showed a clip of Angela Bassett in the CBS one when Tina Turner was on set showing her some of her moves. You're struck again how much Angela Bassett looks like young Tina Turner.
Very much.
And the moves, and I was also struck.
Strong, muscular bodies, too.
Yeah, and also about how Angela Bassett this year on the Oscar circuit, when Austin Butler was getting crap about still talking like Elvis, and she gave several interviews where she said it took her 3 months after filming What's Love Got to Do with It to lose Tina's laugh. And the way she talked, because she so immersed herself. And she said This is what happens when you play a real person. Sure. The only way you get the audience to buy it is that they think you are that person.
Look at Joaquin.
Walk the line.
Walk the line. He was Johnny Cash. He couldn't get out of Johnny Cash. You look at Jamie Foxx when he played Ray. You know, he was into it too. So you do see that happen.
Yeah. So that was a really cute clip. And
see how she got Elvis and Austin Butler in the talk about Tina Turner, yeah. Grant?
Well,
magically it's weaved in.
Angela and Austin Butler are bonded forever, yes, for both being two actors who got robbed of playing legends in A Star Is Born, making Hollywood moment of their own.
Yeah.
They were overlooked for two dumb movies, The Whale, yes, and The Piano.
Both sound terrible.
I absolutely
love that.
I will hold a grudge until I die.
And we will all hear about it. All right, here's what I want to know about. Thanks, Grant. Here's what I want to know. Okay, so I see this headline, Britney and her mom reunite.
Is Julia? This? Yes. I mean,
it was 32 minutes.
I know. So
that's better than 29.
Really, because Brittany, who used to block her mom on Lynn's Instagram and once told Lynn that she
was a bleep and bleep and bleep,
could go bleep herself.
Yeah.
Lynn flew to LA yesterday to visit Brittany, and Brittany let her come in the house. A source who may or may not have been
Sam,
it sounds like Pam, gave TMZ the exclusive. She arrived at the home. She was driven to the home of Britney's manager. And then she took an Uber to Britney's house.
Okay.
And we're told Britney didn't know when she was coming, but she knew her mom was coming to town. And yes, they spent a half hour together. And after Lynn left, Britney and Sam got in her car and drove around for a bit. And apparently these two have been texting and trying to do, you know, maybe trying some making up.
Some
and,
healing.
Well, I mean, her mom has a lot to make up for. And I just finished reading a book that we're going to have on next week called Graceland.
Yes.
About
forgiveness.
The difficult, well, sometimes when people do things that really look awful, you know, there might be more to it, but when you're the recipient of the awfulness, it's very hard to see that. And when it comes from your mom, it's the biggest betrayal of all for mm-hmm. your parents to betray you. So I'm glad Sam and Brittany went for a ride so that she was not, you know, she didn't want to make a video or anything on Instagram. But anyway, I hope that the making it right with her daughter doesn't mean any more mooching, Lynn.
Yes, because okay. Remember she has those attorney fees.
Oh, yeah.
She wants
her daughter to pay. Yes.
$375,000 worth.
$600,000.
Oh, okay. Oh,
I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. No, we have these.
Oh, man.
You remember lines from movies we remember.
That's right.
Yeah, we remember that. So anyway, that is happening.
Okay, and what is this about Miley Cyrus?
Well, Miley is just clearing up. You know, she did an interview, pretty candid interview with British Vogue. Last week, and I remember we posted the cover, but we never got to the story
about her feelings about things.
Yeah, I mean, she admitted she was chastised mercilessly for being young and hot during the Bangers era, mm-hmm. and it left her with a huge amount of shame.
And how she was shamed with the Robin Thicke performance that they did with
the Bangers era, Bangers, isn't it?
Sure, but she had her own album, which is the Bangers thing, and this is the Robin Thicke song.
Yeah, but I think it was all in the same couple of years of time. Sure. It's 20-something.
But that performance she got.
Oh, big time. So she talked about, you know, just what she had to learn. And anyway, just how hard that was for her because, my God,
I wish.
Here's my advice to the, you know, 20-something. You know, just don't be so hard on yourself. And, you know, you can't help it. You're young and hot. Know it.
I love that you know that. That, like, I would have whole different view of myself in that period than how you feel.
Oh,
I totally
knew I was hot. I knew it. I worked it. I loved it. My girlfriend.
I know you did.
I did. And I'm so happy I did.
Yeah.
I didn't waste a minute, you know. Not really, but anyway, you know, she's in the public eye. So, you know, and I can't imagine how that was for her. But according to me, to people, she wants to make sure that she was kidding about not touring again. You know, that she was just saying for right now, it's not for what I'm doing and all of that. Because people are like, Miley said, and I'm like, you can't hold a 30-year-old wouldn't really, even if you did say something like that, you can't be held to what you think or thought at 30, because you're going to change your mind.
Absolutely.
So that's what
you get to change your mind, period, even if you say it at any age.
Yeah, that's true.
It's your prerogative.
Yes. Yeah.
Things change. Okay.
So she just was setting the record straight with
people. And she wished she would have been kinder and gentler to herself. That was kind of what I got out of it. Yeah.
And then tonight, you know, the Wild Nights concert series starts tonight at the zoo.
Yeah.
This is highly recommended, this first night, because it almost feels like a First Avenue night. It's Yam House, Kiss the Tiger, Gully Boys, The Swangos, DJs Maddie Matt, and Astrolex. And I was introduced to Kiss.
Tonight?
Yeah. I was introduced to Kiss the Tiger at the First Avenue night at the fair a couple of years ago. I believe you were with me.
I was with you.
And we were just blown away. And then Kiss the Tiger, she opened for somebody on the grandstand. And I can't remember who it was for. But anyway, so that's happening. But every Thursday now through September 14th, and the last one, September 14th, mashup with Kat Perkins and a few other singers.
Love it.
So she's doing the bookends.
Thanks for giving us that.
So yeah, I'll try and remind you guys every Wednesday who's playing the next night. And
I love it.
Tickets are $30 if you're a Zoo member.
Oh yeah.
And $40 if you're not.
Oh, that's nothing.
All right, listen, we'll be right back.
I don't know if you saw this, you guys, this morning on CBS This Morning News, where all of the stuff that should be in the Academy Museum. The Academy Awards, you know,
museum
that had three things.
Yeah, that we were all excited about.
It's all in the Warner Brothers lot.
Of course.
They had a tour this morning of the Warner Brothers.
Oh, because of the
costumes
special.
And everything. It's all right there. I don't understand why these people don't donate it.
No,
that.
Because Warner Brothers owns it, and they listen.
It's an
Hollywood. These dumb people in Hollywood that have been raising money for this stupid building they were building should have bought Debbie Reynolds.
Yes,
had the whole MGM lot.
But that
Warner Brothers owns their own crap. Okay, so they rely on donations and having. But they spent so much time raising money for the building they passed. On the MGM lot.
Yeah, the content. Yeah, you made a show without content.
Yeah. Oh, my
God. But I just saw it all. I'm like, jeez.
I'm interested in watching this Warner Brothers thing, 100 years of making movies.
It's on tonight on Max.
And Warner Brothers keeps their hands on a lot of that stuff because they will occasionally release it to, like, there's a auction website that does a lot of, like, movie stuff. And it's not Julian's, but it's another one. It's a prop website.
Okay.
And they'll just release it at times, different collections, and just bring in a handful of cash.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very valuable stuff.
Oh, my gosh. She was in the Batmobile today.
Yeah. There you go.
I was going to say
the bat suit is a part of all that. And that's probably $200,000 right there, just the bat suit, you know?
Yeah.
So I know you wanted to donate it, but it's cash, you know?
Yeah, like, I know, but it's the same,
I wish they would. Maybe they could donate it on like a here, you can display it on behalf of us.
They do limited selections, but when we were closed, that room was closed. But you won't know. Don't worry. You can just pass right through the area with the best stuff that's closed right now. That's what they told us.
The dumbest room that they have. They're not obviously working with the Grace, because Graceland is without a doubt the, you know, greatest museum to something ever, you know, the way it's so well done. But the room when you walk in, the Oscar room, you're like all excited. We're going to see all these Oscars. You go in a room.
There's seven.
That's a circle and it's red and there's 40 cases all at the same eye level, each of them with an Oscar for somebody in them. And that's it. No, not a picture of the person accepting the Oscar, which at Graceland, when you see every jumpsuit, you also see a picture of Elvis in said jumpsuit with the date and the year.
It's just so funny. We're talking about the motion picture, a new museum in Hollywood.
In Hollywood. It's just, we can't recommend it. Not until they get their act together.
It really...
It was the silliest thing.
It really was.
I was like, okay, I'm not, I mean, I'm just, I love my, because I do, I'm a fan of the Country Music Hall of Fame. I mean, I do love these. I've never been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but to me, if you're going to show an award, like a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or an MTV Moon Man, they all look the same. They just have a different engraving. If you can't give us the visual,
right,
the picture with the Oscar and the name of the person, so you go, oh, that's because remember, I mean, I think they had Hattie McDaniels.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's just silly.
It's silly.
It's absolutely.
And then the beautiful room of dresses. Now, they had Halle Berry's dress, but you had to walk clear across the other side of the room and look down at a thing to find her picture when she, it wasn't right underneath the dress.
Oh,
that chaps me. You know what made it into what Neil the Knitter is, was out in, he was in New York yesterday, New York City, mm-hmm. Fleet Week is happening. We were lucky at least twice.
What that means is that many of our servicemen are there.
Yeah.
Navy.
Navy, sailors, mm-hmm. full of sailors, Sex mm-hmm. in the City, mm-hmm. Samantha, yeah. famous.
Officer and a Gentleman.
Yeah, yeah, Fleet Week is just everything, so he sent me a picture.
Got to redeem ourselves or what? Officer and a Gentleman, circa 1986.
Well, but Sex in the City, you know, but yeah. anyway, he sent me a picture of, he was standing in front of the Dior boutique. Yeah, she, with this hot pink great dress, and I reminded him, and he reminded me at the same time, that at the very end of CBS Sunday Morning this week, Architectural Digest did their 12 most beautiful buildings of 2022, mm-hmm. and the House of Dior Museum,
where you went in Paris
with Neil,
yes.
is featured because that place is another mind-blowingly amazing example to the artistry of one designer, and then there have been other, you know, besides the original, but it's the House of Dior. It's a museum, and it's so incredible and clever. The spiral staircase is the whole way up. It's all glass, and it's all miniature handbags, shoes, and purses of the first Dior silhouette that people think of, the nipped in waist, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. the off the shoulders, the handbag with the clutch, and a pair of gloves, and it starts at the bottom in like pink, then it's lavender. It's all the same thing, lavender. Then it goes red.
Is this
then it
the
goes
steps
blue.
Or is this on the
every one of these silhouettes, oh. that color. So yeah. it's the whole color Funny. Palette of the same. It's just incredible.
That sounds beautiful.
It's beautiful. So it was the very last, you know, a lot of times you shut off CBS Sunday Morning, you're like, oh, that's the end.
Yes.
You know, there might be like 3 minutes left, and it was there.
Because it's an hour and a half.
But it was kind of, I don't know if you ever go to Architectural Digest. It was sort of, it looked like an interesting, the places if you're looking, if you're traveling and you want to go.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was kind of a good little mm-hmm. idea, I thought. So, and we're probably going to get a Madonna and Sam Smith collab.
Oh.
Yeah, Sam teased us yesterday. Sam and then Madonna whispered. And remember, she presented?
Yes.
Or said he was performing when at the Grammys when she was so uncomfortable with her Wednesday schoolgirl, school marm outfit. I would have been uncomfortable too wearing that.
Tight neck.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. No, jeez. I know.
So I think they're going to do a collab, and his fans are very mad because he canceled his show last night and then... In Manchester.
It had started, you know, it right before started. It started. Everyone's in there.
What's with people doing that now, right?
Voice. As I don't know.
His voice.
He started singing and he's like,
During my third song,
oh,
I noticed.
Oh, he got to a third song. Okay.
I noticed something wrong with my voice. I prayed it was just my voice waking up for the show, but in the fourth song, I'd feel something was really wrong.
Oh.
I tried everything to get it back in gear, but it won't. I am heartbroken.
Okay, that seems...
I'm sorry.
Yeah, compared to like Morgan Wallen, who kept everybody there for 3 hours, never even came out on stage and canceled his concert. Sam Smith came out and tried and had and couldn't
yeah, yeah,
get...
Yeah. Okay. That's very believable.
I didn't know that he came out.
I was hoping Madonna was hiding behind the curtain ready to jump out and yell, surprise!
Would have been fun.
And Taylor Swift is getting called out for a calculated collab with Ice Spice.
Oh, yeah.
On behalf of her boyfriend. Subtle was redefined yesterday by Taylor Swift.
Oh, yes, it was.
So obvious.
It is so obvious.
Yeah, so anyway, this is her new boyfriend dissed this woman, and now Taylor's coming in to do a collab with her just because she's always admired her. Like I said, subtle.
She's trying to... That's never good when you have to do things to remake the image of someone that you're going out with.
Exactly. Yeah,
and nor should she be doing that.
No.
It's not her. I cannot... I'm going to ask Brittany about this tomorrow.
Yes, do.
She might have... Because she knows Taylor well.
They're besties. Mm-hmm. I think she babysitted the cats once. Babysitted. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Lori and Julia on My Talk.